Hi, I'm Jennifer, and welcome back to the Crew of Japan podcast, a weekly podcast where we take you on audio journeys through Japanese culture. Welcome back to our podcast. We are coming to a close on our greatest anime minisode series. Today, we're talking about the Now anime, the anime that has grown popular and has introduced anime to the wider audience. Younger anime fans and fans who haven't died off from the anime scene will know about today's anime, and the anime that has been released in about the last 10 years. Even if you're not an anime fan, you've probably heard of these series before, as today's anime has merged into the outside world through fun marketing, theater releases, and celebrity shoutouts. We'll talk about how these anime have changed the anime industry and how they opened up the fandom to a wider audience. Maybe we'll even convince you to start watching anime again if you've dropped it. And for those anime fans still going hard today, what is on the horizon? We'll talk about all this and more. All right, so we are back, Crew of Japan, anime episode part 3. I'm with Doug and Nigel again.
Hey.
What's up? What's up? Finally bringing this to a close.
Yes, we're finally bringing this to a close. We have come to what we would call the modern day anime. And this is a really, really fast-paced time period, honestly. You had from 2010 to now, an anime from then to now, the game, the playing field is so different than the two previous parts that we talked about. So starting this conversation off, we're going to be talking about the expansion of anime. It was unbelievable for this time period. And the reason we can think about this now is how it's being viewed now. Y'all probably know about this one. I mean, pirating anime. Y'all have heard
like
of that.
One Piece pirating?
No.
Sorry, I had to throw it back to One Piece and your hate for it.
I know. You have to be so punny. No. Pirating anime online, meaning like there were certain websites that would supply anime episodes illegally.
Yeah, I mean, whether it's just raw or fan sub, or just
all of it, you know, all of it was pirated,
all of the above, streams, torrents, you name it, it's out there.
Yeah, you know, I think it's so interesting because before like Crunchyroll and Hulu, I mean, I'd go as far to say probably most people watched most of their anime through websites like that on the internet. I mean, I don't know any other way that they really existed because the cable TV options were pretty limited.
Yeah, I mean, it started probably back in 2006. It became like a really big thing to do. And then it just kind of lasted for a good while.
Pirate Bay.
Yeah. The downfall of it was when the big pirating site, Kiss Anime, closed for good, and like the whole anime community was distraught. But then it was the rise of the streaming services that brought anime back to its feet for a lot of viewers. But yeah, no, back then it was either, you know, use those sites or you know, try your darnest to get those DVDs and find them and purchase them. But it was a struggle for the beginning of this time period. Then streaming services happened, and now everyone can enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things too. When you have streaming services versus like legit streaming services versus the illegitimate ones, like, you know, just random websites that just stream, like, or they'll host it like internationally or something like that. So that way, it's kind of getting through the loopholes and stuff of circumventing, I guess, piracy law. But you know, and it's not exclusive to anime either. There's a lot of genres that partake in this, especially with regards to Japanese like pop cultural items. I know a lot of like tokusatsu also has like kind of a very big like I don't want to say illegitimate, but pirating slash fan sub back like area. And there's some sites out there that you can get like torrents or whatever, or fan subs and things like that. So, I mean, it's definitely been a means of growing the community. And I would almost say it's almost like the companies in Japan just kind of turn an eye to it. They don't really, some places, I guess, maybe pursue if they copyright infringement and whatnot. But I feel like a lot of them kind of understand the nature of it. And until there is a legitimate outlet for those anime and shows to come out in the international community, they kind of just ignore it and allow the fan base to grow. And because that in the end helps them, because you're buying their merch, you're buying all this other stuff that is spreading the name of their product.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what happened. You had these streaming services come out with good quality, you know, visuals for the anime, good subs for the anime, even good dubs for the anime for some of these streaming services. And that's when the Japanese corporations were like, all right, now that this exists,
time to crack down.
Yeah.
Would you say that like the rise of the legitimate streaming service made it cool to like anime? I mean, because like back in the day where you had to use like the, you know, Kiss Anime and sites like that, you know, it wasn't, people weren't going out of their way to watch it. But suddenly you see Demon Slayer in the top 10 on Netflix, you know, then people start watching it.
Yeah. And we'll get to that later in the episode. But in short, yes. And we'll go further into that detail later. But yeah, you're right. You have Netflix, who's a big game changer in that kind of thing. For anime fans, you know, you have Crunchyroll, Funimation came out with their own streaming service. And then even Amazon Prime has come into the game of providing anime. So literally, yeah, like what Doug was saying earlier, you know, now there's no excuse. There's so much anime to watch, and we are able to watch it all. And that is the scariest thing ever.
Yeah, so I guess with that being said, real quick, what's your favorite streaming service?
Oh, no, don't do that to me. Why are you doing that?
Well, I can make this really easy, because I don't really have Funimation or Crunchyroll, so I can't really say one of those two. I would probably say Hulu has a massive amount of modern content. Prime, I think you have a little bit more of dated content on Prime, and then Netflix is kind of been building up their library more recently. As her favorite, I probably would go with probably Hulu, just because I think they had more than the others initially. Now Netflix is again growing, and I haven't really tapped into Crunchyroll or Funimation, so I can't really speak to those. But yeah, that would be mine.
I have all of them, so my opinion, I feel, is invalid. But I will say this about every single one. So Hulu is great for, you know, people who are looking into modern and kind of like that golden age kind of anime. They do a lot of that. Whereas Amazon, yeah, like Doug said, it's a lot of old stuff, I find. Like, the newer stuff isn't really there, and if it is, it's very limited. Netflix. I have a gripe with Netflix with anime, only because it seems to me they're only putting out the popular things. So if you're looking for those underrated anime, you're not going to find them on Netflix. And it's the saddest thing ever, because some of those underrated shows are really, really good for this past, like, decade. So my go-tos are Crunchyroll and Funimation. Funimation, because they do supply a dub, which I appreciate dub anime as well as the sub anime, especially for shows that are very long-running. I'll definitely check out the dub then, since I'm going to be committing for a long-term. And I can also get my husband to watch it with me, because he loves dub anime. So that's another motivation to kind of watch on Funimation. But Crunchyroll is also good. They have a lot of different kind of anime. So I feel like over there, you can find a lot, and, you know, if you're into a certain genre, you can definitely find it there. So each one has its pros and cons. So it's really hard to say which ones are my favorite, but I will say it's a tie between Crunchyroll and Funimation. But obviously those two do have issues and the community knows about those issues. So I'm not even going to go into it, but they have issues. But those are my tops. What about you, Nigel? Where you watch your anime?
So for me, it's Crunchyroll and Hulu. And between those, I would probably say Crunchyroll if I had to choose. I think Crunchyroll just has such a wide collection. And that's literally like what it exists for. Whereas Hulu, you know, it doesn't have some of the ones that I'm, you know, looking for at times. So I usually go to Crunchyroll, and sometimes you get caught in a Hulu ad and you can never get out. That is, yeah, that's really unfortunate to get stuck in while you're trying to watch, you know, My Hero Academia or something. Yeah. So I would probably say Crunchyroll.
Okay, good, good, good. But speaking of My Hero Academia, let's discuss, some notable anime that came out during this time. I mean, there are so many shows that came out, but there's a clear distinction of, like, the shows that stand out during this time. Let's just name a few that we want to just kind of shout out for, you know, what changed the view of anime, because... like you discussed, Nigel, back in our time versus now, anime is definitely viewed differently. And then, you know, what breakthroughs happen in the industry for these kind of anime? Who wants to start off with an anime?
My Hero Academia is literally one of like three on our list of stuff that we're looking at here that I have any clue as to what it is. It's the only one on this list, really, that I'm up to date with the manga. I've seen all the anime. I was packing for work one weekend for a work trip, and I just happened to have Cartoon Network on for whatever reason. I just like flipped on and put it on there for my son and just kind of let the TV kind of play in the background for a couple hours. And it switched over to that, and it was like the very early episodes. And so I caught it, and I'm like, oh, this is kind of interesting. And so then kind of went on to Hulu and just watched what was on Hulu. I love My Hero Academia. I think it's really fun. I've read all of it. I'm up to date. So it's kind of, I would almost say it's almost similar to Naruto in the sense of how it's kind of structured. It's got like a very large cast of a lot of, I don't want to say B-level supporting cast. But, you know, you have your primaries and then you have your like a lot of ancillary people that surround. But they do all get spotlight at some point in time, which is really cool. I would say My Hero Academia is probably one of the more prominent ones. And that's only because that's what I know.
It definitely is. And I remember, you know, you telling me, Doug, outside of the podcast, like you don't really watch too much anime anymore. So you're more in like the old school kind of anime. But you knowing what My Hero Academia is significant in itself for someone that does not watch a lot of anime. So you are just proving kind of my point of the game has changed. People who've never heard of anime before are hearing about it now, and it's because of series like My Hero Academia.
And I'll say too, it's not even because of all the streaming services either. It's really, I just happened to catch it on Cartoon Network, which is the old way of me ingesting anime back in the day. So it was one of those, I think the new Toonami that runs on Saturday nights or something is what happened to capture me and pull me back in.
Yeah, I think, of course, My Hero Academia is a huge one. And I think that comparison to Naruto is very interesting, too, because that says a lot about that shonen anime, you know, and its prevalence in that timeless story.
Always that one shonen.
yeah. And I would say, I mean, there's moments in that show where it's just like, this is literally Naruto with superheroes, you know, like it's the same
it really is, huh? Sometimes it really, I'm like, yeah,
but you know, still an amazing show. Amazing. I've watched that one as well. Of course you have some of the big hitters, the Attack on Titans, Yuri on Ice, but I think, oh, I can't forget One Punch Man. That was also super iconic as well.
I don't like One Punch Man.
Me neither, actually.
Oh,
I've watched a few episodes, and I'm not a huge fan of One Punch Man. So I tend to agree there. But no offense to anyone out there that listens and likes it. I know it's pretty popular.
Oh, well, hey, it's to each his own, right?
I tried. I honestly tried. I will say I tried my hardest to like One Punch Man. I sat down. I watched it. I just, something about it. I guess, I think it's, and I've been hearing about it online, you know, it's either, it's a love it or hate it series. It's not an in-between. And I think I can agree with that. You're either going to love it for its comedy and because of like the irony of it, or you're going to hate it because it's just so darn.
Well, it's just a parody show, right? So it's either making fun of something you like or.
But I don't even hate it because of the main character. Like Saitama, the fact that he can kill anything in one punch, love that. That is the greatest thing ever. Fine, I'll take it. What I hate, what got me, and spoilers alert for listeners who haven't watched One Punch Man, what irks me is the fact that all these heroes that are like S rank and A rank and even C rank, they are jerks. They shouldn't even be heroes. Like, what the heck? Some of these look like more villains and act like villains. It just makes me so mad. Oh my God.
My Hero Academia kind of touches on that too, though. I think that's a kind of a common theme like now. It's like kind of the anti-hero or the dark side of superheroes.
Yeah,
I feel like My Hero Academia doesn't do it as hard as the One Punch Man's does, because I mean, Bakugo is just Bakugo. He just has anger issues. That's not
well. Yeah, maybe I might be jumping ahead too. I don't want to spoil spoilers.
Bakugo and Sasuke.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
I wasn't really talking about Bakugo though. There's other stuff in the prose that are. Yeah, I'll leave that there.
You manga reader.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'm better than you. Well, are you familiar with the like the backstory of One Punch Man?
No.
Okay, I'm not like an expert on it, but I think, and we can, you know, listeners can fact check this, but I believe the creator of it, like it was his dream to be a manga artist, and he started just like drawing it on his own and uploading it to his own like website. Without like a publisher, without like a book deal. He was not famous or anything like that. But he taught himself how to draw and just decided to make his own manga. And it actually gained a lot of steam and got picked up. And that the manga he was creating was One Punch Man. So it was like a literal rags to riches story. And pretty amazing. So whenever I watched it, I was thinking of that the whole time and just thinking, this is amazing that someone can actually, you know, do this while working a part-time job and, you know, make this and make something. So for sure, though, no, everything you said is 100% valid about it, though. But
hey, I'm not hating on it. I think I gave it like a 5 on my anime list. It's average. So that hey. Whatever, you know, I didn't give it past a 5, didn't go under. But yeah, those were good. Some more notable ones that maybe have been maybe slipped under the rug for the last few years just because they aren't as long running as others is like you had, oh my gosh, there was so much fiasco with Tokyo Ghoul. Does anyone know about the Tokyo Ghoul fiasco? Like, fans were in an uproar. It was a mess, a hot mess.
No clue.
I've heard of it, but yeah, I'm not super up to date on what happened.
Oh yeah, no, the anime season 1, great, chef's kiss, amazing. Then it took a plunge in the second season. pretty much all the fan base was like, read the manga, don't even touch the anime, which I'll agree, you know, read the manga, don't watch anime. But that was a fiasco. Let's see, what else was a fiasco during the season? I mean, then you had the anime elitists, which y'all know about the anime elitists. It's the ones that are like, oh, you like this, that's so basic. And I know we talked about that last episode for like the big three. But the game has changed for modern anime. I don't know why, but it's if you like something that's popular, then you are a basic anime fan. And I don't understand that logic. Like,
I feel like that's common, though. It's just the mainstream versus, I read this or I watch this indie show or song or music. You know, I like this indie band and I'm cooler than you because I don't rely on the opinions and the popular mainstream media to tell me on what I need to like and what's best out for me.
But it's popular because it's good.
Well, I mean, I think if you look at the heavy hitters like Attack on Titan, I mean, everybody that not everybody, but I know like in Japan, it is a phenomenon.
Oh, it's huge.
And same thing for Demon Slayer. It, like my mother-in-law, who is, I want to say like in her late 60s, early 70s, has watched Demon Slayer. Like,
really?
You know, it's just everybody and their brother knows what Demon Slayer is in Japan.
Yeah.
It's just like, it transcends genre, transcends, not genre, but demographics and ages and generations. So like, it's popular, but God forbid someone here tell you, oh, you just like that basic Demon Slayer stuff. And you're like, I don't think anyone's actually said that. Have they? Do they? Are there people out there like that?
Some of them have. I know anime fans who have put off on watching Demon Slayer only because everyone was watching it.
Okay.
And like, you would finally watch it like a year later.
Now, I get that though. I get the not watching something because there's so much, you know, press and buzz about it.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's not valid to then degrade other people for watching it.
Yeah, no, definitely not. Because some of it's like really good. Like, I remember there was controversy with like people watching Fairy Tail, which is a super long running series. You can find it on Netflix. I personally I'm okay with Fairy Tail. I think it's pretty entertaining. The characters are cool. I didn't find anything too bad about it, but a lot of people, oh my gosh, it was either you loved it or hate it with that. And, you know, if you loved it, you're basic and blah, 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 blah. I'm just like, oh my God, like, calm down, people.
Yeah, and it's another one we could throw out there is Jujutsu Kaisen. You know, of late.
The new shonen.
Yeah, yeah. Of late, I feel like I can't go a single day without not hearing about that show and the manga as well.
I sent you that thing that SportsCenter tweeted out after it was like a basketball game. Someone tweeted out like a, I didn't know what the hell it was because I haven't seen it yet, but I read it. But someone tweeted out like a screenshot of like, oh, look what happens when LeBron wakes up or whatever. And it's like, or somebody. And it was like a screenshot of like Jujutsu Kaisen characters doing something, you know, it was like, it's like primetime SportsCenter's, you know, like Twitter is tweeting out pictures of Jujutsu Kaisen as like a, you know, a means of conveying something that happened in the sports world.
It's hard to hate an anime that does something right. And that's the thing, like Demon Slayer, Jujutsu Kaisen, My Hero Academia, like they get the fight scenes really right. And so it's really hard to hate it for that because they're just, the fight scenes are so good. They know what they're doing. So, I mean, you can't blame them.
So that's interesting. So, you know, I agree with that. You know, that's one of the things I saw the Demon Slayer movie. And I think literally everyone I talked to who saw the movie also agrees. The animation of like the fight scenes are just on another level of animation. And it's hard to disagree with, but that made me think, well, what about some shows that are like not like fighting ones? I mean, I feel like a lot of the ones that I know do have that element, but Jen, I feel like you probably know some.
Well,
yeah, the floor is yours. What are some big ones out there, you know, in the modern scene that are not necessarily shonen or you know, involving fight scenes?
Yeah, so what's happening with this modern day of anime is there is a rise in subgenres. And for modern day anime fans, you will know exactly what I'm talking about. I am talking about the subgenres of sports anime and isekais. You literally will have, I don't know, 10 isekais in a season, like seasonal anime. It's like spring anime. I think there are 10 isekais. It's really nuts, honestly. How many isekais come out in an anime season?
So for the ignorant person, what is an isekai?
Oh, I knew that was coming.
Hey, okay. That's a great question. I'm just, everyone knows.
You're nerding out on me, but you gotta give me some context here.
Okay, so an isekai anime is a subgenre of anime where it's dealing with characters who are in real life going to another world. So those are like your Sword Art Online, ReZero, Rising of the Shield Hero, which was super popular. It's coming out with season two. So excited. No Game No Life, Log Horizon. I mean, there's the newer ones like So I'm a Spider, So What? Or How Not to Summon a Demon Lord, or like
I'm a Spider, So What? That's a great name.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of these names you have here are hilarious. Like that time I got reincarnated into it as a slime.
Yeah, so that's the
point. It's really long. I'm sure the Japanese name is a lot shorter.
These names, okay, you can tell which ones. Well, actually, no, you can't, because Log Horizon is actually a light novel. But a lot of these are light novel anime, like light novel series that became anime. And light novels, I feel, are really, really good gateway for people who want to dive into the isekai genre, because that's all they are, is light novels, and then they become anime, and they come up with these really, really bizarre names. But
so are those light novels, are they like series, or like book one, book two, book three, book four, or is it like just one book and then they just adapt that into a multi-episode show?
No, so it's a series. So like, okay, for example, Log Horizon, there are multiple volumes of the light novel that they adapted into an anime. Season two just ended, I think, like last seasonal anime. So, I mean, there's a ton out there. I just named a few. One of the bigger ones was Konosuba, which was, I mean, it's still talked about today. People love that series. So isekai, it got its big, big jump from Sword Art Online. People will say it didn't, but this time period, I promise you it did. The only other isekai before this in our like golden age was like Dot Hack, and I'm dating myself when say that.
Would Fushigi Yugi or Inuyasha be considered isekai?
Correct, they are.
Okay,
but that's the
thing. Wow, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, because it's going to another world. It doesn't have to be a video game, but they have to be transported to another world. And here's the thing, that kind of anime was present during our time and the time before, but we didn't call it isekai. We called it fantasy anime, like genre. And now they gave it a name. They gave it isekai. That's what all the modern day anime fans know what that genre is. And then it's just jam packed now. Like I said, there's about 10 isekai anime in one seasonal go. So, I mean, it's just, it's hard to keep up with all of them. It's so sad.
So you're telling me Son Goku landing on Earth makes him an isekai
character? No. I mean, no. Yeah. Just stop.
That's a good point, Nigel.
No, that's not how it
just
works.
Just saying.
That's not how it works. But then the other subgenre that became a rise was the sports anime, which this came out of left field for me. I didn't know this was going to happen. And you know what? I'm not complaining. I love the fact that sports anime are becoming a thing, because I didn't know it's something that I needed in my life.
Well, it's been around for a while. I mean, they had like Slam Dunk. And I know when back in the early to mid 2000s, they had Ice Shield 21, which is like an American football.
Yep.
Which is kind of interesting, because that American football is not really big in Japan.
Yeah.
And it was kind of more of an introduction to American football.
Yeah, they had Prince of Tennis as well, which I loved.
Yep.
But that thing, same thing as like the isekai. It existed before, but not to this mass distribution of it. Like now, it's everywhere. They have an anime about playing ping pong, Doug. Ping pong.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about that. Is that what's the name? Haikyuu? No, is that tennis?
That's Haikyuu is volleyball.
Volleyball, huh? See, yeah. I don't know.
The ping pong one is just ping pong animation. Right, you know, right then and there. They had one.
I feel like I'm in an isekai right now. I've just teleported into a world of anime I have nothing, no knowledge about.
I know, I'm probably running circles around.
Well, now, I agree with you, Jin. I never knew I wanted or needed sports anime in my life. I mean, like, I'm a fan of sports. I'm a huge soccer fan. And I never would have thought that, you know, a soccer anime was something I needed. But there's a phenomenal one, Arya no Kishi. A Night in the Area, one of my favorite anime ever. You know, and it's about soccer. You know, it's a dramatic soccer story, but with all the touches.
I'm not even into sports anymore. Like, I stopped sports in like elementary school, but like anime makes it so fun. Like, okay, we were talking about Haikyuu for like a second. I'm gonna go back to that because I freaking love Haikyuu. It's about volleyball. Why in the world did my PE class not make it this entertaining? Like, Haikyuu makes volleyball look fun as heck, and I want to play it now.
Yeah.
I just want to dive for the ball and just knock it over the net. And then you have like anime about swimming, Free. And that became huge. That's like on, I think, like its third season. It had like two movies or something. How? Why? What? And then there's like an anime about bicycling, like cycling. And I'm just like, what? Like, how are we getting all this anime? And then you talked about Yuri on Ice earlier, Nigel. And that was huge. Huge game changer. You even had Olympic ice skaters performing the routines from the anime,
which is pretty amazing.
That's crazy. I would have never thought that would have happened in my life.
Yeah, I think that's part of like a really cool offspring of all of this, you know, subgenre, the sports anime. It creates this motivation to actually want to get out and play some of these sports, or, you know, it kind of bleeds over in motivating people to kind of get active. Whenever I watch Arai no Kishi, you know, I'm like ready to go play some soccer after, you know. Same with the swimming anime. I've seen a few episodes of that.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah, and that a really, really cool
it's
one,
beautiful.
You know. It's amazing. And I watched that it was last fall. I went and got a membership to a local pool and I was like swimming.
Nice. Right?
Like it's just amazing. You know, it kind of when you watch like Dragon Ball Z, you know, like what will it motivate you to do? You know, hopefully not go out and fight the world, you know, but like with these, it kind of has a really cool, you know, benefit from watching.
Yeah.
It.
Like even one sports anime, it's called Chihaya Furu, which is very Japanese sounding, and you wouldn't think it's a sport, but it's an anime about the traditional Japanese card game Karuta. And I did not know I loved this sport until I saw this anime. Like, it looks so, so interesting. Do y'all know what that card game is?
Yes.
I thought you would, Doug. You didn't know about a lot of traditional Japanese.
Well, no, I did this in class for my students. We would play Karuta in class. But I mean, it wouldn't be the whole, I think they read out like a phrase and the first character of like the phrase, you have to slap the card or whatever, whichever. But we would do like just like vocabulary. I would say a sentence and whatever was at like the focal point of the sentence, like whether it was like I like, you know, whatever. And they'd have to listen for the full sentence and then and slap the card that was in front of them. So yeah, Karuta is huge. Kids know about it. It's really competitive.
Yeah, it is. Like, just watch. Guys, if y'all have to watch any sports anime, please watch this one. It's three seasons, but it's amazing. Like, the English major in me itches to play this if only I knew the language that well. Like, like they show in the anime, all the person has to do is breathe, like taking in a breath when trying to say the verse that they're trying to say, and the people automatically go and start like slamming down the cards. I'm like, oh my gosh, that person didn't even say anything yet and you already know what card.
I feel like it's a game of chance too. They just slap because they're just like, all right, I have a 50-50 chance here of getting this right.
it was just nuts. Y'all need to watch that's the thing.
I will say one thing about Karuta, and this is completely off the topic of like anime and anything, but like it drove me crazy and I didn't realize what Karuta like actually was when I was teaching. Like, I knew of the name and I knew the general grasp of it, but like when they slap the cards, they do this like sideways slapping motion to like slap it from underneath, like kind of get underneath the other person's hand. And I didn't realize that. I just thought, like, all right, first person slapped that down, whoever gets their hand underneath it first wins. The first person on top
of it. They like knock it out of the playing field.
Oh my God, I would get so frustrated. I'm like, you are messing this up for everybody else because you're making an absolute mess. You're diving across the cartridge. Ah, it drives me crazy. Little elementary school kids doing this. And it took me a while to realize, oh, that's how the game's actually played.
Yeah.
And I'm just the dumb foreigner that didn't know. You know, I thought it was like slapjack where, you know, you just like slap the card, you know, and it's just like, whoever slaps it first, you have to have your hand up here, and then whoever's fastest to slap on the right card wins. But nope.
Oh, then
so, Doug, it was a learning experience.
Doug, you need to watch this anime then. I think you would appreciate it so much like I did. Oh, because it should.
Like, give me flashbacks. I don't know.
No, what the hell? Oh my gosh. It's so underrated too. Okay, I'm sorry. We're gonna continue on, or I'm just gonna stay on.
You're just gonna keep talking about Karuta.
I know. But so that's good. So I'm showing y'all that anime has become a more distributed thing. So now we come to the problem with modern day anime. And this is kind
before we do that, can I ask you a question? Does slice of life go into this subgenre? Because I've heard that a lot. Slice of life anime.
Slice of life. Oh my God. That's not a subgenre I want to watch.
I know. The sound, that's a rough one. But
slice of life.
Yeah, would that go into subgenre?
I mean, it would. I mean, slice of life was kind of like a thing already, though. It's been around forever. Okay. And there's not really an increase in it as much as like these two clearly had an increase.
I got you.
But like slice of life is actually kind of in a bunch of anime already. So like if you wanted to, the Karuta anime that I was talking about, Chihara Furu, that has slice of life in it. I mean, a bunch of anime already have slice of life connected with other genres. That's the thing about anime. It's not just one genre. That's the good thing about anime. There's so many genres that can be put into one anime. That's why it's so easy to get someone to like into anime, because there's something for everyone now. There's no longer any kind of limitations. Everyone can have an anime that they like.
That's a good thing, and maybe it's a bad thing. And that might lead into our second segment that you were just about to segue to.
So the problem with modern day anime, and this is something that we talked about in part two. This is what I was talking about, guys, when I was like, I'm gonna play devil's advocate. And that is, what does an anime need to stay relevant? And it's three things that it needs. An anime needs impact, it needs quality, and it needs staying power. And so modern day anime is having this problem with staying power. And the reason for this is because there's so many anime these days that it's hard to keep up. And I feel it myself. Like, I've missed out on so many anime in the past, like seasonal premieres of anime, because there's just so many coming out at once. And I cannot, for the life of me, dedicate so much of my time just on anime. I have other things going on in life, and so if I'm going to watch anime, I have to be selective on what I watch. So like, I've never watched Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid. Super popular, everyone seems to love it, but I just haven't had time to watch it, so I missed out on it. There's just so much anime, there's not enough time in the day to watch it. You're just divided. Like, the seasons are divided. You can't possibly watch that many, because then you have the long breaks that they're on. It's just, it's hard.
Well,
it's a struggle, guys.
I feel like you hit the nail on the head too, and just there being too much out there. And this is part of, once you have dedicated streaming services to anime, is that they're going to keep pumping it out because people want it. And people like with Netflix, where you get a full series that comes out at once and you just watch it and it's amazing. It's great for 1 week and then it's on to the next one. It's no longer. And I know some shows or some platforms are doing more weekly release shows. Like, for example, with Netflix and Amazon Prime, or maybe not Netflix, I'm sorry. Amazon Prime has been doing this for other shows, not necessarily anime, but like Invincible and The Boys, and Disney's been doing it with their releases of shows. they're keeping those shows more relevant by releasing episodes week by week to allow people to actually enjoy it as an experience and not just a full series drop at once.
Yeah, I dreaded the day that these companies would catch on to that, because you could get the free trial, binge watch the whole series in 2 days and then cancel and never have to pay anything. But that keeps you know, the incentive of not canceling after a month of binge watching all of the shows on Netflix.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a good thing, like the Netflix formula and having just those really popular ones. That might be a good thing for a person who feels overwhelmed by all of the choice that you get with Crunchyroll or Hulu or Funimation, just to go and say, okay, what's popular right now? Okay, I see Demon Slayer. I see, whatever else they have on Netflix at the moment. And if I'm just keeping it to these shows, I will always know kind of, what's in the now.
Yeah. And like I was saying, like, there's some anime that had like super long breaks in between seasons to where like you almost forgot that the anime existed. And one anime that was like so guilty of this was Log Horizon. I know neither of you probably know what that is.
You mentioned it earlier, but no, I have no idea.
Yeah, it's an isekai anime that like I really enjoyed the first season. It was amazing. So much fun. But then it had the longest break. I don't know, so don't quote me, but like I want to say 10-year break. Oof. Before a second season.
Move over, George Martin.
Yeah, exactly. That's ridiculous. 10 years? I forgot what happened in season one. So like I had to like really struggle during season two trying to remember, okay, who are you? Why is this happening? What?
Like, well, why did it take so long?
I have no idea. I honestly have no idea. I wouldn't be able to give you a good reason. I don't know. I have no idea.
Wow.
But that happens. It happens.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, but that's only a few. Some anime aren't guilty of that. Some of them do actually, you know, have decently sized releases one after the other. Like My Hero Academia. It maybe only does like what? Two seasonal anime spans, or like a year. So like half a year or a year. Then you have like just like a smaller break, not as as crazy of a break.
Demon Slayer.
But
Demon Slayer had its first season and it seemed to be coming back a year later, you know? So that's not too bad. That's the normal, you know, release schedule these days.
It's like regular TV, right? You have your fall and spring releases half seasons or whatever. You have your seasonal finales and whatnot, or mid-season finale, and then your, you know, actual season finale.
But here's a question, though, because I talked about the three things anime needs, and that's impact, quality, and staying power. And I just argued that staying power is an issue for this time span of anime. My question now is, let's predict, what is going to possibly have the staying power to just stand the test of time and hopefully will be considered quote-unquote classic anime years from now?
I think you have a few already.
I think so too.
Yeah, I think like the low-hanging fruit here, because these are the ones that I know. And if I know them, then they have to have some staying power and impact and quality. But Demon Slayer, My Hero Academia, Attack on Titan, I feel like those three very different genres of shows too. They're not all like one all in the same like boat, kind of like with, I mean, Naruto and One Piece and Bleach all were different genres in terms of the theme, but they all kind of were your adventure, group adventure, like let's move forward towards, you know, a destination. Each one of these are very, very much My Hero Academia follows like more the Naruto, Bleach, One Piece train of I guess storytelling, but
it does.
Demon Slayer and Attack on Titan are very, very, very different.
I'm going to argue with you. I 100% agree. Those three are probably going to stand the test of time.
Are they a big three?
I think so.
I
think so.
What?
Well, this is the point in part two that we were like, you know, we'd have to debate about, right?
I don't think we're at that point yet. I honestly don't think we're at that point. I will say Attack on Titan was very, it's like, it's there. It could be there if it lasts.
Is it over?
It's going to be over in the fall.
Okay.
In the fall, the last part of the last season is going to come out, and then it's all going to be over. Now, the manga is done, so the manga hype is completely washed away. But the anime hype, I hope it becomes a thing again in the fall when the last part of the season comes out. I mean, it had a bunch of hype this season. It just ended. And it was pretty good ending. I mean, left off on a cliffhanger, but other than that, it was a good ending.
Yeah, I have some friends that watch it religiously, and that's what they said. It was pretty intense, like the most recent season. So,
oh yeah, it was intense.
I'm still on season one. I need to catch up. I've only seen parts, so yeah, I'm still a newbie.
Well, season one's great. Season three was, well, no, I don't know. Season two was pretty meh. I don't know. It gets better. Don't worry.
I would say, like, that was one of the problems I had when I was, like, interested in kind of watching what's out. I have no idea what's good because there are so many options on Hulu and Amazon Prime and Netflix. I couldn't pick. So that's why I ended up going with, like, Demon Slayer, because I knew that that was a cult classic at this point, even though it's only been out for a few years. Same thing with Attack on Titan, and same thing with like My Hero Academia. It's just, there's such a large following. I'm like, okay, well, this many people can't be wrong. So I'm just going to go with that, as opposed to trying to find one of those niche shows, or maybe it's not as popular, but it's really good. You know, there's just so many, you're flooded with options and it's hard to pick. So I just went with the easy ones. I think probably like Jujutsu Kaisen, if I have time growing in my life, which I don't, but if I did, that's probably where I would head to next, because I just, again, hear so much good stuff about it.
Yeah, and I think something has to be said for the records that Demon Slayer, the movie, has broken. You know, I mean, the highest grossing film ever in Japan, the highest grossing anime of all time worldwide as well. And again, like you said, Doug, it's only been out for a few years. So I think that one for sure is going to be one that's going to be around for a while. Even if, you know, even if the seasons take a while to develop, I mean, that those records will stay there for a while. And I mean, if you think about all the incredible anime that's existed over the years, you know, Dragon Ball Z, Naruto, One Piece, Bleach, Attack on Titan, you know, you think of Sailor Moon, you go down the list, none of them, you even Miyazaki's movies, you know, none of them have grossed as much as Demon Slayer. And that's impressive.
But there's a problem, and I'm hoping those three don't have the problem. My Hero Academia, I don't think it will. Attack on Titan and Demon Slayer. Specifically, Attack on Titan and Demon Slayer, I'm worried about. And that is, and I mean, y'all have to know, Sword Art Online was so popular. I mean, I kind of want to say it still is, but it has lost a lot of steam. And that's because it was, I think they tried to do so much with it that fans just got tired. I mean, I stuck with it. I've watched everything. So like right now, the furthest you can go is like Alicization. I've watched it. It was really, really good. Good fight scenes, good animation. But I will admit, it's not having the same firepower that it had in its first and second season, which is weird because I hated the second season.
Well, I feel like that sometimes is a case with anything, especially these long running shows, is that they, I don't want to say they run out of ideas, but some of it, people start to feel it's rehashed storylines, or, okay, this is getting a little repetitive. It doesn't feel as new or as fresh as maybe seasons one or two, when things were not, you know, it may be building off of those seasons to create these later seasons. I mean, you have to, right? That's just storytelling. But, you know, the fact that, you know, you need to rely on seasons one and two to get to this, the stuff that comes up in three and four, will make people always naturally feel, okay, there's some repetition here. There's some repeated themes that, you know, okay, I'm getting a little tired of this. I'm ready to move on to something else. Or, okay, I'll keep watching this because I've committed so much time to it. And I don't want to give it up because I've watched 4 seasons of it already. I felt that way with Walking Dead, right?
I'm like, I've committed some time to this. I need to just keep on going.
Yeah. Yeah, there's that the commitment. You're like, all right, I'm this far in. I can't, like, stop now. Even if you do feel tired and worn out by the story that you're watching, you're like, ugh, I really don't like where they're going with this. But, yeah. But I don't think Attack on Titan, I'm still pretty new to it. So I don't really know how things have developed over. But it sounds like they're keeping people on their toes.
Now they are, but like season 3 was exhausting. Okay. I'm gonna say that. I think it was season 3. Was that season 3? I don't know. There was one season where I think the anime community can all agree it was kind of very tiring. And I was like, what's happening? Why is this so boring? It was a struggle, but we made it out of there and we're now at the final season.
Well, you know, I think one of the things that all of these three, you know, of the modern potential big three really need is the, you know, you listed the impact, the quality, and the staying power. They all need that. I think of those, I have to go back to Demon Slayer, the way it's bridging the generational gaps and everything. I mean, I think that's one that, I think if you look at a big three, I think of all of the ones we're talking about right now, there's something about that one. And I can't even tell you what it is. I don't know what it is. I think I've seen many articles over 2020 trying to figure out what it is that makes, you know, people who are 70 years old go to the theater 3 times to see this movie. And no one really has a clear answer. But, you know, I think that is a good hint at the probability that it will have impact. I think it's already proven that it has an impact. 2, quality. Remember, we just said we were talking about the quality of those fight scenes. The big question is 3, the staying power. But I think when you're smashing those records like that, I think that, you know, that's a good hint at that last one.
And I sure hope so.
Yeah.
Trust me, I don't want it to fail. I don't. Because you know what? If I had to choose Demon Slayer over one of the other stupid shonen that's out that I despise of right now, which I'm not going to name because I just don't even want to talk about it. It's just god awful. I don't even want y'all to know about it. That's how bad it is.
Now we have to guess.
You know, I hope Demon Slayer does well. You know, I hope Demon Slayer becomes a classic.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt about it in my mind. Just from, like, Nigel's pretty much hit on every piece of why it has become what it is today. You know, I think that really maybe we're all wrong, and the next big three is Boruto, One Piece, and then Bleach a sequel.
of course, you mean the live action version of these movies too, because that's another thing. I got on Netflix when you said part 2 that One Piece was on Netflix. I was like, really, it is? And I looked and I clicked on One Piece after typing it in, and what came up was, I guess, their placeholder for the live action One Piece movie Netflix is making. And I thought, oh my God.
How are you going to do One Piece live action?
Don't put it past Netflix. They've already ruined Full Metal Alchemist and Bleach. They'll be able to do it, trust me.
Well, also Death Note as well. Death Note and...
Yeah, but see, Death Note, they should have done right because there's already a live action. The Japanese already did it perfectly.
Yeah.
So I don't know Netflix's excuse, but they murdered Full Metal Alchemist and Bleach already. So I wouldn't put it past them.
But you know, they actually did a solid job, I will say, on Erased. Have you seen that one?
Yeah, they did do a solid job. Yet again, I think they had a really, really big Japanese influence on that. So that's my guess, honestly.
And it also was not in, like, English. It was a Japanese show.
Yeah,
it was, you know, and I thought that also probably has some effect on it as
definitely,
well.
Definitely.
As long as it doesn't turn out like live action Dragon Ball.
Oh, let's not talk about that.
Yeah, no, we're going to continue to leave that in its grave that it died in. But But now we've come to the question that kind of Doug, I think it was Doug, that said in the very beginning, or maybe it was you, Nigel, I don't know which one it was, but one of you discussed the fact of, is anime cool now? And we were discussing how it kind of became cool because of the fact that it's so easily accessible now. Like Nigel was saying how he freaking saw Demon Slayer movie in theaters. Like that was not in my head when I was thinking about anime back in middle school. So just that it's so easily accessible and like it's at everyone's disposal. And because of that, now you have, I mean, what, like, I don't know, I hate to be like this, but like normal people, how normal people can now, you know, understand what Demon Slayer is or understand what Attack on, like, I remember Attack on Titan.
Yeah.
Was like, everyone knew about it, even people who knew nothing about anime. Once they saw a scout and they knew what the hand signal was and everything over their chest, and I was like, why do people know about this? Yeah. Now I feel like they're coming into my territory.
Well, it's just the, like you said, the accessibility of it all is really a big part, because in the back in the day, during the golden age, you had to go out of your way to look for it. I mean, it was on Toonami and whatnot, but you know, you also had a limited scope of what you could watch easily.
Not only that, but I felt like, I mean, I don't know how you felt, Doug, when you were in school, but I was hiding the fact that I liked anime for a few years.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely one of those things where I didn't openly broadcast it. I mean, I was in, like, I kind of hung out with the art group, so like, you know, it was kind of like, all right, yeah. And Dragon Ball Z was like really in its prime at that point, so I feel like for me, Dragon Ball Z is kind of what started making anime a little bit cooler. Mm-hmm. And maybe not cooler, but it was much more easily accessible. So more people who may not be quote unquote classically miscategorized or just called a nerd. And I don't use that as a derogatory term towards anybody. I'm just saying, like, it wasn't perceived that way if you watched it. So like that was kind of the transition I think I noticed. Now, you know, there was other shows that maybe people watched that, you know, weren't as openly received as like, oh, that's a great show, that maybe had been coming out. Like, people had no idea if I said, hey, I watch Outlaw Star, they're like, what? But if I said, hey, I watch Dragon Ball Z, they knew that, you know? So, yeah. I think that's one thing, but now it's much more accessible. But I also think, like, you kind of brought this up when we were talking about the subgenres, there's stuff out there for everybody now. So if you really like something about basketball, or if you really like something about tennis, or if you really like adventure or fairy tale or horror or, you know, whatever, fighting, like, there's something out there for everybody. So if they really want to get into that, there's a community for it, and there's ways of reaching out and connecting with people who like it, which that weren't really available to people maybe 15, 20 years ago, like Reddit or yeah. Twitter or, you know, forums were out there, but again, you had to go actively look for it. Whereas Reddit, you can go make a post and then all of a sudden the comments will come.
Yeah. And I don't know if you had this experience, Doug, but another thing, like with school life and, you know, coming out liking anime, you know, if you used to say you liked anime, people would look at you and be like, aren't you a little too old for cartoons? Like, give you that excuse.
I still get that.
I still get that too, you know, from family.
You know, but I think that's a difference. That's a difference between, that's just a cultural difference between, in the U.S., like, cartoons were always just a child's thing.
But you see, I feel like people my own age cannot say that anymore because of series like Attack on Titan,
yeah.
Death Note. I mean, you have these violent anime.
I think it's shifting. I think it's shifting. And I mean, you've also had a lot of American cartoons that came out that are American created or U.S. company created cartoons and shows that are targeting, like, Rick and Morty. Like, that has a huge following. It's a cartoon. South Park. You know, there's all these other shows that are coming out that are much more geared towards adults. That I think those kind of have also played their part in making animation as a whole much more of a non-child specific media that can be enjoyed.
Yeah. Like, I just did a class presentation for like an elementary school, which was so, it was a very weird experience, honestly, because it's these, you know, sixth graders. And I mean, I remember just yesterday I was being a sixth grader, and I remember me being like, what the heck is Japan? What's anime? Like, I didn't know at the time. So when they were like asking me about questions about Japan and like this and that, I'm like, oh my gosh, these kids know like a bunch of stuff about Japan. Like, that's amazing. And then like I would give examples of like anime, and I would see kids cheering in the back of the classroom like, yeah, you talked about this anime. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, like, this would have never happened if someone came into my sixth grade class when I was a sixth grader. Been like, oh yeah, so Inuyasha. And I would have been like, what's that? Because I didn't like anime until seventh grade. So like, I don't know. It's just such a different playing field now.
Yeah. I mean, there were times when kids would get beat up over Pokemon cards or whatever, you know, like it was
back in the Wild West days.
Oh yeah. It was not easy. I mean, like I said, and like you said, and like we've all said, it's much more socially acceptable now to just be a fan of this stuff. And I think it's just much more of an, people are allowed to be a little bit more individualistic in terms of their interests and types of entertainment, much more open to accepting those types of things too.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You know, it's amazing to think back when I first started, you know, getting into anime and manga, it was like, I was literally the only person in my class that was interested in this. Those days it was just so interesting because, you know, you always got the, what are you reading? You know? And I remember, oh my gosh, the manga Dr. Slump. I don't know if you ever read that.
Oh yeah, I know. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You know, people who weren't familiar with like the anime tropes or the manga tropes, you know, and that manga was very, very interesting. So, I remember people say, oh, what is this? Oh, what? Look at this, what you're reading, all that stuff. And I got so much flack over that manga. I literally went home one day and threw it away. Like, literally put it in the trash can. I was like, this is never happening again.
Oh, man.
Well, at the time, it was liberating. But, you know, I look back on it, I was like, phew, you know, not going to get bothered about that manga ever again. So.
That is so sad. I think you and I have opposite experiences just because we handle it a little differently. Because when I got to high school, one day I think I just came to like the realization, like, I really just want people to like me for me, and I really just want to find someone that I can talk to about this stuff. So I tested out the waters, which was the bravest thing probably a teenager in high school could have ever done. I brought a manga to school. And by the way, I went to an all-girls school, so FYI, cattiness was everywhere, but I still did this. I brought one of my manga to school. I was like, you know what? I'm going to just sit here and read it and see if anyone bothers me or if anyone comes up to me. And you know what? I had people that came up to me and was like, oh, what are you reading? And then they'd be like, oh, I like this series. Let me bring it for you tomorrow. I was like, I made friends. And then like I would draw anime characters in class, and like people would pass my desk and be like, oh, that's so cool. Is that Kagome from Inuyasha? Yeah. And so like then my friends that knew that I liked anime would draw anime pictures for me and give it to me as gifts. And I was just like, oh, thank God I did this for myself.
Yeah. See, like it became that at some point, yeah. You know, but back in like, back in the early days, Batman, no, you couldn't.
In elementary school, I didn't do too much of that flaunting.
Yeah, yeah. By the time I got to high school, you know, you talk about, hey, did you catch that latest episode? You know, all that. But dude, in those early days, elementary school, middle school, back when we were in that first wave of like, you know, late 90s, early 2000s. Oh, yeah, geez, no, you were throwing Dr. Slump in the trash can. That's what it was.
Well, I mean, I had, and this is, if anyone's in my age bracket, I'm a little bit older than you guys, right? So yeah. I remember like when I like Sailor Moon and Dragon Ball, Pokemon and all that stuff came out, like I had one or two friends, maybe three or four, that, but we all ended up going to different high schools. But in junior high, you know, again, not a lot of people that went to, that enjoyed this openly, whether, you know, maybe more than we knew about, but I only had like two or three other friends that actually enjoyed like anime and manga. So my outlet was, I would go on AOL Instant Messenger chat rooms and like try to find other people that enjoy those. That was my outlet. I didn't have like friends at school that enjoyed it. So if I wanted to talk about it with somebody, there weren't forums. I mean, there probably were. I just didn't know about it, right? But there were, that was the way. Like there was, you know, make your AOL friends and, you know, hope they're not like creepers. Like they're like, your, everyone would say, watch out for those internet pedophiles coming after you. Like, I don't think they're hanging out in there. Well, I don't know. But yeah. But anyway, like they, you know, it was good to find those people that you could talk to that can kind of like share that interest. And then again, in high school, it came a little bit easier because again, Dragon Ball helped make things a lot more mainstream and acceptable. And even Pokemon, but I mean, Pokemon at that point was probably seen more as childish. So you, yeah, couldn't, well, you couldn't openly enjoy it as much as you had in like maybe elementary school or junior high. But yeah, it was tough. But I mean, again, the thing is now is that a lot of kids don't have to deal with that as much. I mean, I'm sure there is absolutely still bullying that goes around because you like things, but I'm it's sure. much more openly accepted. And like the cool kids are watching Jujutsu Kaisen as well as like the nerdy kids, right? So like there's a bridge and you can share that interest. And it's not as like, I don't know, derivative or divisive as it was in the past.
I imagine now it's more so the type of show that you actually like, yeah, and watch. You know.
That's the thing now. Yeah. But like I said, I went to that class presentation and kids in the back were like hooraying when I said One Piece or hooraying when I said Naruto. So I mean, it's they're showing it publicly, unlike we did not used to do. So
yeah, and I mean, if you guys out there listening or have similar experiences or you know, want to share stories like that, feel free to shoot us an email. Feel free to reach out to us on social media. And let us know like those stories. We'd love to hear them. And, you know, even at some point, maybe share them if you're okay with it. Like just because everyone goes through different stuff and yeah, you know, it helps them cope. Anime helps them cope. And whether it's been like the old age, the old West or the golden age or your modern stuff, it's all entertainment that's kind of helped get us through our formative years. And we enjoyed all of it going along and helped create who we are today.
And here's to more anime to come. And that's it for this week's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Crew of Japan podcast. In your opinion, what modern day anime will be remembered for years to come, like the classics before it? Share your answers with us on social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Crew of Japan Podcast. That's KREWEOFJAPAN Podcast. While you're there, follow and let us know how you're enjoying the podcast. That's it for today. Until next time.